You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Across the country, immigration lawyers flock to airports and border crossings to help travelers stranded by President Trump's executive order. West Bloomfield immigration attorney Farah Alkerson was unable to help anyone on Friday night. That's because the Iraqi-born lawyer was blocked from reentering the United States when she tried to cross back over from Sarnia on Friday night. Farah, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I am really excited.
Now, you left Iraq for the U.S. how long ago? How old were you when you came?
Yes, I was 8 years old when we arrived to the United States in 98. My family had fled Iraq in 95, and we had lived in New Zealand for a bit of time where we obtained our citizenship. And then my dad's dream was always to come to the U.S. So we came in 98, became lawful permanent residents in 2007, and I naturalized in 2013, as did the rest of my family.
So you are a citizen.
I am, yes.
Tell us what happened Friday night.
So my husband, he is a Canadian citizen for the last decade or so. We were both born in Iraq. When we got married a few years ago, I applied for his lawful permanent residence through our marriage. And he has that. So he's a green card holder for the last year and a half and also a Canadian citizen for over a decade. We frequently go to visit my in-laws, his parents. They live in Sarnia. We went to go have dinner with them Friday night. I knew the order had been signed. I'm an immigration attorney, so I had done my research. I had read it. But I wasn't really prepared for what was to take place. Around 11:30 p.m., I was on my email checking, you know, what was going on. I was getting alerts and emails from other attorneys, colleagues saying, look, this order is a lot more far-reaching than we thought. And the seven designated countries that are classified in the order, anybody who has green cards and was born in one of those countries or even non-immigrant visas, such as student visas, are going to be affected. My thought was, well, my husband and I, we don't really have proof. We were born in Iraq, but we don't really have proof of citizenship there. And he's been Canadian for a decade. So maybe it shouldn't affect him because it's definitely not clear regarding dual nationals and citizens. But at the same time, I thought, you know what? I just don't have a good feeling about this.
Let's get back home.
So I woke him up. He was sleeping, 11:30. I said, you know what? Let's just cross because it will be less busy. We get to the border, and then first thing the officer says, he's like, you guys need to go inside. He looked at my husband's green card. It says Iraq. He looked at his Canadian passport. He's like, don't worry. We're going to clear it up. Just go in. The executive order was signed. We had to leave everything in the car. Went in with just my passport card, his Canadian passport, and his green card. I tried to talk to somebody as soon as we got in. Everybody was nice, but nobody could tell me what was going on. They're like, just sit. It was us and some other family that was also there. We sat. Then an hour later, somebody finally came out and said the executive order was signed. I was like, yes, I'm well aware, but as an immigration attorney, it does not apply to my husband, okay, because he's a Canadian citizen. And the officer then proceeded to ask me and my husband a long range of questions about when we left Iraq. Where did we go? How did I naturalize? How did my husband get here? Who did we know in Iraq? When was the last time we were in Iraq? And the way I was, I said to him, please understand, we were born there. We fled there because of persecution. We haven't been there since the early 90s.
What did you think when you were being asked those questions?
I was upset. I was upset. I was frustrated. I understand. I do understand the border. Me and my husband, you know, national security is a top priority. But at the same time, I knew the reason we were in there was because my husband's birthplace is Iraq. What happened then was between 3.5 to 4 hours, it was a bit chaotic. The officers kept talking to each other, going into one office, coming out of another office, telling me, you know what, this is above our pay grade. We don't really know what's going on. The order was just signed. We're waiting to hear from somebody. I said, who are you waiting to hear from? Can we please go? They're like, no, just hang tight. Came back, asked more questions, went back. Finally, 4 hours in, 3.5 hours in, it was kind of the time, you know, the way you're flustered. Mm-hmm. My husband's like, what are we going to do? We started even like thinking about if they don't let him in, like what are our options? Finally, I asked to speak to a supervisor. And he told me, well, we're not going to have a decision tonight. You guys just go back to Canada. He said, well, you're a U.S. citizen, so technically you can go, but your husband stays here. And I said to him, well, where is he going to go without a car and nobody able to come get him? They told us, do you want to call somebody? I said, yeah, but we never got to. And I want to stress that everybody was cordial. It wasn't, you know, okay. But at the same time, everybody's just kind of staring at you. It's the wee hours of the night. So finally, they said, you guys just go back to Canada, come back in the morning, call us. I said, who's going to pick up the phone? I've called this number. I work with this these types of cases. Am I going to have to come back in the morning and wait this all through when there's going to be a lot more people crossing? I said, I'm not going anywhere. But then we didn't get any answers. They said, you guys have to go. My husband said, you know what? It's 2:30. I can't just, it's too tiring. What are we going to do? So I said, fine. I said, you know what? I just didn't know what to do. I said, we'll go. But, you know, please give me back my passport card, his green card, and his Canadian passport. They're like, oh, yeah, sure. But then they went in the back for another hour. I just thought the worst. I thought he's not getting in. So then they come back out and they were like, you know what? Here, you guys, good news. You can go. And I was just overcome with emotion. I'm not an emotional person. I mean, I am. I don't cry a lot, but I started crying because I'm tired, I'm exhausted, and we just got in the car. We finally crossed, and I wanted to share this with everybody. I honestly just posted it on Facebook, and then it just spread, but my intention was to let people know. It's hard to share these stories, but I wanted people to know that this is what's happening and that if you're here and you're an LPR, you're...
And that's legal permanent resident.
Yeah, lawful permanent resident or legal permanent resident or a student visa, whatever, from one of those countries, do not leave. If you're abroad and you fall into those categories, don't try to enter. Because the story started coming out, people can't get on planes, people being turned back once they're here. There was a few people detained in JFK Airport.
So are you getting calls? Your firm, your immigration attorneys?
Yeah, we have. I have some clients. Their interviews for green cards were canceled overseas. But before the order was even signed, I had done a lot of kind of preparation telling people not to go anywhere. The irony of it is that my husband and I went, but nowhere did I ever think that it would be applicable to individuals who also have citizenship from other countries, especially for decades. And it's not clear, and it hasn't been made clear.
Well, Farah, there are a lot of people who support what President Trump did, and they strongly believe that safety and security in the U.S. is well served by these actions, and inconvenience to some is the price worth paying for greater security.
Sure.
What do you think about what they say is the need for stronger security measures at our nation's borders?
You know what? National security is very important. I mean, I'm an immigration attorney. I do this for a living. I completely agree. The thing is, I wonder, is this the right way to be doing this? There, for LPRs, I can even say, or individuals with visas who work and live here, who have done everything correctly, who have nothing on their records, who are being stopped because of the country they were born in, a decision they had no choice over. They're being stopped because of countries they fled and can't return to. And I want to stress that, you know, me and my husband luckily have options and we're so fortunate. But a lot of people don't have those options. They're green card holders. And if something happens to them, they have to return to Iraq or Syria or Yemen, where they're going to be facing possibly death. For me, I have to believe that we can secure the borders and national security is important. But why does that mean discriminating on national origin? Sure, you know, if there's something that flags a certain individual and they have to be searched or further measures. But now there's been a ban placed on so many people just because they fall into one of these seven countries.
Farah Alkerson, thank you so much for
sharing
your experience with us on Stateside.
Of course. Thank you for having me.